Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
I think we all remember Srebrenica, but I think that any effort to connect...
I started policing in 84 after Commissioner Bratton came.
And these sort of games that normalize extreme sexual violence.
Did you get drunk and urinate on people?
Hey, that sounds good.
World-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch, but we know where the bodies are buried, and we take you through the looking glass every night of talk radio. We take you into the inner sanctum. A New York City politician goes on a campaign to end baggy pants, and great minds at work still to come. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. Time now to bring on the Phil Henry Show. We have with us Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we're going to be talking about this recent upsurge, or it might seem like an upsurge, in militia activity.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
Jay, how you doing?
It may be called
the
state
police, doing
pretty good. State troopers,
and,
militia,
the rangers. We talk about an upswing in militia activity. I think these we need to be very clear. I don't think we have an epidemic so much as we've got another nuisance.
All right, well, let's talk about that. Our number 877-876-PHIL. You say that we have an upsurge in activity that is more nuisance-like than it is actually dangerous.
Well, that is my read on it, Phil. We've been on the front line of law enforcement here at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. As an auxiliary police organization, we're an auxiliary arm. We're a particularly aggressive auxiliary arm. And so we're not a neighborhood watch group. And I don't want anybody to get the idea, you know, that we're some kind of group of people that don't do our due diligence, because we do. But I can tell you that with the arrest of these individuals from this group called Atari, this is a group of individuals, a Michigan-based Christian militia group that for some time had been operating in Michigan. Now, over the weekend, the FBI had to take them down. That's a police term. Over the weekend, they did recognize an imminent threat, in their opinion, to police officers. I don't personally think was an imminent threat. That was our own intelligence.
Now, Jay, to let people know, you're not an official police agency. You're an auxiliary organization. You guys formed basically on a volunteer basis. You operate out of each other's homes, correct?
Well, when you say that, it's unfortunate that you said that we operate out of each other's homes, because it makes it sound as if what we're doing is kind of Mickey Mouse or something.
No, I'm trying to get a handle on, because when you say that your intel on this Christian militia group was different from the intel that the U.S. attorney and the FBI had, I'm trying to get a handle on where in the hierarchy you guys fall.
Well, I can tell you, Phil, that our intel is pretty good. It's pretty solid. I don't want to laugh at you or anything, but I like to believe that the individuals that we know, people who are, they could be people who operate a bakery, people who have, for instance, a safety deposit box in the same building that one of these people have. That's the kind of intel we have. And you know what? I'll go toe-to-toe anytime with the U.S. attorney on that.
Well, what was the intelligence you had on this Christian militia group?
There was no imminent threat. This is a Mickey Mouse organization. And I think you can ask anybody in any other militia at Mickey Mouse. These guys, it's surprising to me that they even know which side of a gun a bullet comes out of. It's surprising to me that they even put their pants on straight in the morning. I mean, I think anybody who knows anything about these militias across the country, and this is from what I've read and from the intel we've gotten from people who, a lot of delivery people that deliver baked goods or what have you, my understanding is, my belief is, Mickey Mouse. And for the U.S. attorney and for the FBI to turn these guys into something just this side of the Red Army, or, you know, the Red Guard, or some well, he's a group that put gas down in a subway down there in Tokyo. I think it's ridiculous. And I'm very, very sorry to see them overreact.
So you believe that this was an overreaction on the part of the FBI arresting these members? They were going to, they said they believed they were targeting police officers.
Well, they might have been targeting police officers. There's a big difference between saying, here's what I want to do, and whether you're going to be able to do it. FBI and Department of Homeland Security are making a big to-do out of absolutely nothing, because this Mickey Mouse militia group, total Mickey Mouse, and what they should be doing is focusing on some of the real threats that can be posed. Some of the things that are happening in our society right now, in our government right now, that do cause you to stop and to wonder and take notice of just how safe are our children, how safe are our families. But these Mickey Mouse militias, these guys who have, hold on for a minute. We just got it's a little bit of a...
What's going on?
Oh, he's got just an alarm. I think it does a disservice to police officers and to those of us on the front lines of law enforcement to have to deal with Mickey Mouse deal like this. So these threats, we talk about, for instance, we've got high school kids right now, Phil, who is doing anything about a lot of these girls, a lot of these young boys. You saw the article, New York politician, a guy who I admire greatly, State Senator Eric Adams in New York, and I know him through the New York Simulated Police. He wants to get these boys to stop wearing these pants that are dragging on the ground so you can see everything. And also in concurrence with that, here in California and the West Coast, what we want to do is try to get these girls quit wearing these pants and these skirts that are really tight to school.
So you guys are on a whole other campaign.
Well, the campaign that we're on is in concert with educating the public that these militias that the FBI is going after, these guys are strictly Mickey Mouse. This is strictly amateur night. They have to say in a fight game, this is all real ham and egg stuff, real tomato cans. These guys are not, they're a threat to themselves. If they're building a bomb, they can blow themselves up. If they've got a weapon.
Well, now, Jay, hold on for a minute before you move off of this.
What we are saying is we've got a generation of young people going to high schools dressing in ways that are inappropriate and provocative. The girls are wearing really tight skirts, and they got on tight pants. Boys are wearing the pants that are on the floor. You've heard, like I said, State Senator Eric Adams in New York.
Yeah. All right, before you go on to that, we know that these militia groups have been dangerous. Now, maybe they're not militia groups so much as they are extreme right-wing terrorist organizations, but this group called The Order, right?
Well, that was in the 80s, Phil, and that organization has been completely destroyed. And those were the bad old days, no question about that. We had a rise of this kind of right-wing activity, and interestingly enough, we had a rise of right-wing activity when Ronald Reagan was president. And then we have a rise of right-wing activity when Barack Obama president. So there really isn't any, got nothing to do with the president. It has to do with right-wingers who are Mickey Mouse in every way.
And but you don't deny that there were some dangerous groups out there.
There were dangerous groups. But the militia groups of today are understood by everyone in law enforcement to be nothing more than very elaborate jokes. They are well-costumed, well-equipped comedy groups that cannot really cause any serious damage. And
I got to tell you something, Jay. It'd be a hell of a day, man, after talking to you and you telling me they can't cause any serious damage, if we suddenly found out that there had been an attack on police officers.
But there was an attack on police officers.
No, because they were arrested.
But there wouldn't have been. I'm telling you right now, that was a waste of police resources. Right now, with Operation Dress Code, I have out there right now sub-commanders, some 25 sub-commanders out there with Operation Dress Code and with Operation Dress Code 2, looking at these kids coming home from school. These girls got pants on or tight. This is obviously under the radar of the school. The boys are still wearing pants that hang down. And no one has done anything to address this.
Well, what are you guys doing? So you're completely off of the militia thing, and you're looking at kids wearing inappropriate clothing to high school?
What we're looking at are a lot of the girls are wearing very tight dresses, are just stretched tight, and very tight pants. We are stopping them. We are asking them where they're going. You asked me if we can do that legally. Yes, we can, because they are underage, and so we can stop them and ask them questions because they're underage. They're not really going to. What are they going to say?
Well, they have rights. They don't have to talk to you.
Well, they're underage. So are they going to? They're going to start to push me around? I don't think so. We ask them where they're going, and then we give them some of our literature, which basically tells them what they can do to change the pants they're wearing. We stop these young women who are wearing inappropriate attire. We will get personal information. We'll get personal phone number so we can follow up on them and see if they've changed their attire. They're still dressing like they're walking down the street with it stretched across tight. And so this is really Operation Dress Code 1 and Operation Dress Code 2. That's the grassroots, and that's where it really is, and that's really where our concern should be, not with Mickey Mouse Militia and the Hataris, who sound as asinine as their name, and they sound like guys that ought to be throwing spears. Yeah, with a name like that, sound like they ought to be throwing spears? Well, yeah, that's what they ought to be doing, throwing spears.
All right, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So the whole militia thing, in your mind, is overblown. And do you feel the public's attention is being drawn away?
Oh, absolutely. The public right now is talking militia, 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 militia. And the real threat right now is the inappropriate dress of these children going to school, coming home from school. And we have to take time out of our day doing our round and stop them and ask them where they're going wearing their tight pants.
All right, 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we will continue this discussion about the relative, in Jay's opinion, the relative impotence and the lack of threat coming from the militias, and how under the radar is the inappropriate dress of teenagers going to school. So you guys are stopping, talking, and handing out literature to kids who are wearing what you think is inappropriate dress.
Absolutely, Phil. And we do that, again, the tight pants, and the boys whose pants are hanging down so far you can see, you know, part of their butt, or however you want to say it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And somebody said, why don't you spell your last name, too, Phil, so we can find the website? My last name is H-E-N, as in Nancy, D as in David, R-I-E. Phil Hendry Show, back after this.
What? That's wrong.
Phil, and back with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, you guys have gone from you've taken a look at this militia threat. Now, we know that the FBI has arrested members of this group called the Hatari or whatever. I mean, this Christian. I agree with you. Some of these names are jackass.
Well, it's like these guys are watching. You know, they're reading too many. They're watching too many comic shows or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the word that I had on this guy that ran the Hatari is that this guy is strictly real low ball. Guy's real amateur. He's a wannabe tough guy. He's a guy that apparently has got an ego problem. He's got very little patience. He wants it all his way. Sounds like an overgrown kid, and he's out there playing army.
And you're saying that if ever came down to it, push came to shove, these guys don't know which end of a rifle the bullet comes out of?
I'm telling you right now, these guys are not as familiar with firearms as they think they are. I don't doubt at all that four deputy sheriffs from any sheriff's department in the country could take care of this group, and I'm sure a lot of these other groups. And that's why I think we've been distracted, critically distracted, I think very much... fatally distracted when we have our high school girls who are walking the street with their dresses so tight that you start thinking about things that you don't want to think about. We've got young men that are walking down the street with baggy pants so baggy you could hide a weapon in there, you could hide an explosive in there. This will be our eighth year of Operation Dress Code. And I want people to concentrate on that, because we walk around, we have a ruler, and we'll measure that dress. We'll go ahead and measure that pants, that, you know, see how far below the I guess you want to call it the crack of the butt that pant goes. And
you got a ruler? I mean, you know, look, man, I there's no question in my mind that perhaps we should be paying a little bit more attention to the way our kids dress. But you're stopping kids on the street because you say they can't do anything about it, measuring their dresses and measuring their pants.
You know why we do so?
Because, look at Jake.
No, you know why we do it?
But the point of...
We do it, let me tell you, we do it because the parents won't. And that's what we put on our brochure. We do it because the parents don't. We do it because the parents don't.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Take a phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is Jason. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Yeah, I'm just totally blown away by this guy's conversation. I'm sitting there listening to see what he's trying to say. And he's talking about spending 8 years checking out young girls and young guys' pants and how far they come down, when he's looking at the people that are forming militias with camouflage and rifles, carrying out, military maneuvers in the backyard and making plans to attack police officers. It's asinine, in my opinion.
Well, I think that these militia that you're talking about, sir, I think you're getting a little too nervous, because these guys couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, you know. And right now, the real threat, I'm a professional police officer.
Yeah, but you guys don't get paid.
How's that?
You don't get paid, Jay. You're an auxiliary police force.
Well, you know, you can say what you want, but this is what I do. I can judge militias, and I know these guys are strictly Mickey Mouse. Meanwhile, we got kids walking around with their pants hanging down. That's my only point.
Pants hanging down and rifles going off in the backyard in a sequestered acreage is two different things. I mean, there's a moral. I understand maybe what you're saying as far as there's a moral thing that may be going on that can lead to further action, but I mean, to put the two in a judgment situation, if I'm a police officer, an auxiliary police officer, I'm driving down the road, and to the left there's some military maneuvers, guys in militias, you know, doing their thing, and plotting out a map on what officers they're going to kill, and then to the right there's a teenage couple walking down the road with tight pants and a weird hairdo. I'm going to focus on the guys with the military maneuvers and the machine guns and the plans.
That's well said. That's well said, Jason. I mean, that lays it out about as well as you can, Jay.
Well, and I understand what the gentleman's saying. I can see how, if you don't have experience, I've got a lot of experience. If you don't have experience on the front lines of law enforcement like I do.
But again, you're a volunteer police force.
You know, Mr. Henry, you keep bringing that up.
But I'm just asking in terms of your experience.
The experience we have is the following, and I understand what this gentleman's saying, but when I look at a militia, this gentleman may see a militia and think, okay, and, you know, it's kind of a threat going on. I look at a militia, and I'm seeing the Mickey Mouse Club. I mean, I might as well be looking at Mickey and the Mouse Club. Then I see a girl going down the street, and her pants are stretched so tight, you know, you can have a grown man, looking at that. To me, that's a threat.
Okay, so what would be the end result? What would be the end result of these teenagers with tight pants growing up? What do you expect them to become? I mean, fashion illiterate, or do you expect them to become militia people? I mean, what's the purpose here of even speaking
more the thing that I worry about more than anything else is the illicit behavior that leads to pregnancy, that then leads to an economic burden, venereal disease, the spreading of AIDS, the spreading of diseases that viruses mutate into different kind of diseases. Next thing you know, we have an epidemic that's causing possible death or insanity.
So tight pants leading to pregnancy is more of an important threat, you're saying, than people with militia attitudes taping, you know, starting off low-key, I suppose, with, camouflage,
yeah,
machine guns going towards backpacks and nuclear, mobile nuclear weapons that can be made out
and
of
the, and again,
that's more.
And again, they arrested these guys because they were going to kill cops.
Look, I want to tell both you gentlemen something. Just yesterday, there was a story in the newspaper about gonorrhea has just gone superbug. Did you guys, either one of you guys, read about it?
What do you mean gonorrhea has gone?
The gonorrhea, which we all know is a venereal disease, has just broken Mach 1, which is basically superbug.
Now, what does that mean, superbug?
Gonorrhea is now more of a threat than any Mickey Mouse militia. Now, what does gonorrhea come from? Sex. What does sex get started by? Some kids.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying that these tight pants and these low bottom pants are incubations of some type of superbug that's going to take over the planet? Or are we talking?
No, sir. No, I'm saying the tightness leads on. It leads on and on and on.
All right, hold on. Thank you, Jason. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Santos.
This is auxiliary police.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show here. And on the line with me, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we continue to talk about militias and the threat to our society from militias, as opposed to some of the things that you and your organization deal with, Jay. And we're going to get to some phone calls, but I question again your priorities. And this means no disrespect.
Well, Phil, it's difficult for me to sit and listen to you or any of your callers question my experience with these different multi-level threats because...
Well, the Citizens Auxiliary Police is not an official police organization.
Well, you can say that, and you've been saying it throughout the program, which I think you know probably does more harm than good. I'm not claiming that I'm a professional police officer, but I am saying I am a professional. Most of the people in the Citizens Auxiliary Police could have been police officers, but we didn't want to deal with the politics. A lot of us are... I guess you could say we're kind of if I could use an image, kind of a Dirty Harry type. You know, we go our own way, but we get a result.
Well, what is that? What is about Dirty Harry? You guys don't carry guns.
I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying when everybody's getting excited about militias, when everyone sees guys that are going to topple the government and topple Zog and, you know, move all the blacks and the Jews to California and Hawaii or whatever they're going to do, I'm looking at a bunch of Mickey Mouse Club members who've got on their ears and are, you know, maybe they do the marching song real good. I'm more concerned with and this gentleman was making a joke, the gonorrhea, and you can look it up if you want, Phil, but gonorrhea's gone superbug.
And you've said that now, and I did look it up, and I do see where gonorrhea has been a mutation. What has that got to do with stopping young people on the street and checking whether their pants or their skirts are too tight?
Well, no, the boys' pants are hanging down well below the, I'll just call it what it is. It's hanging well below the crack line, and that's where our ruler comes in.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with us here in Atlanta is Joe. Joe, you're on with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, the guy's got to be a perv, man. He's got to be a perv. I mean, checking out the girls and the boys during the day, what's he going to do at home at night? You know, he's got to pull out the magazine.
Oh, maybe you. Maybe you would. Not me.
No.
Yeah.
It's, you, right. And you want
well,
to...
If you think about it...
You got an excuse. You use an excuse that they're spreading diseases? You got to be a joke.
No. If you
they
think
need
about
to take,
it, what's coming
they
out
need
of
to
your
take
head.
That organization out.
Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about militia?
I'm talking about your militia and your auxiliary police.
No, sir, we're not a militia. We're not a militia, okay?
Okay,
we don't carry guns. We're not
police.
Trying to topple. We're not toppling the government of the United States.
They need to take you people out, because if you're going to use that as an excuse, oh, they're spreading diseases, that kind of stuff. What tight pair of pants has ever killed anybody?
Let me ask something. So you want to see girls going down the street in tight skirts? Is that that's your kick? That's what you want to see. You want to stop me from doing something about it?
Really, I don't care.
All right. Hold on. Got to dump that S word there. Sorry, man. 877-876-PHIL. I apologize for that, but you can't.
I didn't say it.
No, I know, but that other gentleman did. And
look, Phil, I'm a professional. I take my job very seriously. If nothing improper ever happens when we take a girl's information on her skirt. Or how tight it's going across, you know, the area that it's going to go across, which is going to make everybody... You heard that last guy. That last guy probably sits there with, snapping his prosthetic leg on in the morning and looking at... all the girls going down the street.
I don't know. What does that mean, prosthetic leg?
Well, I can hear that guy's, he wants to see what I'm trying to do something about.
And in the meantime, we have militias that are targeting police officers, and you say they're Mickey Mouse.
Absolutely. Full. If you could put a, totally Mickey Mouse. Totally Mickey Mouse.
877-876-PHIL, the number. Let's go to Fernando in Gainesville, Florida, listening to us on WBXY. Hey, Fernando, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Phil? Pleasure to talk to you.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you.
I have listened to your show a lot, but usually early in the morning. I'm in Miami now. That's why I got you on. But I've been in law enforcement all my life since 1980 to this very day. First, I started with Belgrade Police Department, Palm Beach County Drug Task Force, then with Naval Criminal Investigation Service, and now with state law enforcement. I want to tell this guy, I've been shot four times and stabbed twice. A man with a gun or a person with a gun is a lot more dangerous to me than a child with his, you know, baggy pants or dress hiked up. And if he's got so much experience in law enforcement, he should know that if he stops a child on the street, especially being a stranger to that child, and puts hands on that child in order to measure her dress, that right there is a battery. It constitutes as a battery, and that
well,
and most
I'm not trying to hurt her. All I'm trying to do is get measurements on just, you know, she walking down the street with her butt sticking out, what she thinks is going to happen. That's
listen,
the thing we're trying
why are you looking at her butt to start with? I think you should, if you want to educate anybody, educate their parents. I'm a parent too. My kids wouldn't be caught dead with bashed pants or, because they'd have to take me to like the emergency room to get my foot out of their butt. But what you're doing, I think.
Well, that's battery. See, that's battery right there. You'd assault the parent.
You know,
yeah.
Battery is not correcting a child and letting a child grow up in the wrong way. And battery is also not teaching a child that when a strange person comes up to him on the street to ask him personal information, to run the other way as fast as they can and go find a real cop to tell him about that person. Because, sir, pardon my expression, but you sound like a pervert to me. You know, you got the wrong way about going about it.
You and that other guy said the same thing about me being a perv, you know, a perv on the prowl. I'm a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm trying to help you do your job, and
you know what? You're hindering our job, because when we should be out there saving people's lives and keeping people from being hurt, we've got to be running around chasing away perverts from our kids. So,
wait a minute.
What department are you an auxiliary police officer with?
It's Citizens Auxiliary Police. Major Elvis Newton, commanding.
It's
cops usually are affiliated to a real police department. Like
right, like a reserve.
In St. Mary's, Georgia. No, we have auxiliary and we have reserve. St. Mary's, Georgia Police Department.
Have you heard of the Gator Brigade? Have you heard of the Gator Brigade? That's all throughout Florida, the Gator Brigade.
No, sir, I haven't heard of the Gator Brigade. And I wouldn't put much value in anything you say. Do you want to do something good for the community?
I'm trying to tell you something about...
Start up a citizens group where you get all the parents together in your community and tell them how their kids are being dressed. And tell them about the bad thoughts that these kids are bringing to you by the way that they're dressed. And maybe the parent, educate the parents. Keep your hands off the kids. Don't be a strange person coming up to a child and bothering a child and scaring a child.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you something?
As it is already.
Can I ask you something? This group that you are suggesting that I form, okay, is this like a neighborhood watch group?
Yeah.
I don't play that neighborhood watch stuff.
No, wait a minute. You're not a cop.
It's a community service.
I don't want to do that.
You're not a cop. You're not a sworn police officer.
I'm a citizen auxiliary police.
You don't
carry a gun.
You don't get paid. I don't know what kind of uniform you wear, but you're still a strange person coming up to a child and asking him personal questions.
Let me just jump in here. Fernando has said some things here.
He's talking about the St. Mary's something, right? I never heard of them.
Well, look, nobody's ever heard of you, Jay. And the point is here, We were talking about a militia group in Michigan that was going to target police officers, okay? Thank God they got those guys. Otherwise, we would have dead police officers. And you're saying, no way, no way. It's more important to make sure these kids aren't walking out on the street wearing slutty-looking clothes. Now, Fernando agrees that maybe you ought to talk to the parents. But you didn't think there was anything imminent or critical in what those cops were doing up there in Michigan against those guys?
I'm telling you, Phil, this Christian militias, all these militias are Mickey Mouse from my intel.
What do you mean your intel? Where do you get intel?
I get intel from where you ought to get intel, from the guys that are driving the hot bread truck and all of this. And I'll tell you something.
Now he's laughing at me. Sir, you're who? You are who? Do you have access to NCIS? What is that, the TV show? No, that's the National Crime Information Center. That's how much experience you got. You don't even know what that is. NCIS, you said S, the center is spelled with a C.
Hey, that's the FBI's crime database. And you don't have access to that. So don't.
If you don't have access to that, whatever information you get is hokey.
Oh, so because you're laughing, and because I get my information from a guy that drives a hot bread. I'm laughing. The hot bread truck, that may be fine.
Okay.
I am laughing because my youngest daughter is now 21 years old. But when she was in high school, if somebody like you
I worked the streets
would have come up to her, you would have been battered. Okay. Because, I mean, I work
the streets. I get down and dirty. I talk with people.
You work the streets? You work
the streets? Did you ever see the show Beretta? You're hanging around schools
is what you are.
Hey, Jay, let me ask something. You think you're Beretta?
What?
Do you think you're Beretta?
Did you ever see Beretta? He worked the street.
Well, so what, are you Beretta?
Well, I can walk. Are you telling me I don't know how to talk to him? I can walk up to a pimp and talk to him, sure.
Sir, I think
Beretta,
you had more sense than he does.
Okay, did you just laugh at me, Mr. Henry?
I did.
You know what? I hope you and this gentleman both, when you die, are denied permission to heaven, and you've only got one other place to go, and you know what that is, don't you? Go ahead, say it. I'll tell you what it's called. It's called hell.
Did you hear that? He just hung up on it. He hung up on me, man.
I don't think he can do it anymore.
Yeah, all right, dude.
I'm sorry you had to listen to this guy for so long.
I'm happy to have you call in and you know, straighten out some of these. What is it? Back on line two. Yeah.
I have one other thing I want to say.
You hung up on me, so I'm hanging up on you.
No, I got angry. This guy called. He used. Forget it.
All right, Fernando. Thanks for your call. Thanks very much, sir. 877-876. All right, man. Unbelievable. Don't put these guys back on.
He said he had another point he wanted to make.
He was probably looking for a more colorful way of saying hell. 877-876-PHIL. We've got the stories that we couldn't get to. And we're online right now, streaming video and audio at philhenryshow.com. If you missed the show, you can get the download tomorrow. And you can also watch a 5-day video archive. So it's on demand, baby. The Phil Henry Show is 24/7, all the time.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back. This is a very bizarre story. A leading Canadian psychiatrist, right? Leading Canadian psychiatrist. That's what it says. This is from The Guardian. This is The Guardian reporting from Washington. A leading Canadian psychiatrist who kept accusations of gross human rights abuses in apartheid-era South Africa hidden has been charged in Calgary with sexually abusing a male patient and is being investigated over dozens of other allegations. Now, he said he kept this hidden. It says here Dr. Aubrey Levin, who in South Africa was known as Dr. Shock because this quack tried to use electricity to cure gay military conscripts. How does this guy come to practice medicine in Canada? he was a quack in South Africa, and he gets a license in Canada. And I don't think that this indicts Canada's national health care, but this is all you need, right? Because the brain surgery that goes on in the United States, which, in other words, like, there isn't any brain surgery going on in the United States. There isn't any real understanding of what a healthcare plan is. They grab a hold of this. The Tea Party gets a hold of this stuff, man. This is like fresh red meat. Anyway, Aubrey Levin, who in South Africa was known as Dr. Shock because he would use electricity to try to cure gay military conscripts. Yeah, it's called electroshock, okay? And as a matter of fact, they used to do it in the United States. Only they put the electrodes on the brain and tried to cure a guy of being a homosexual that way. And it didn't work. Neither did castration. That didn't work. Neither did chemical castration. That didn't work. All kinds of things they tried to do to gay men in the 50s and 40s and before to try to cure them of this quote-unquote disease. This guy, according to police, they're investigating similar claims by 30 other patients. This guy apparently was making sexual advances to his patients. So here's a guy that was trying to cure the, quote, disease of homosexuality, end quote, by using basically torture method of electric shock. And it turns out he's a homosexual.
What if he used it on himself?
Hey, doc, there's a good idea. You ought to use it on yourself, huh, first? Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it works or not. And well, here, go ahead and just hook the electrodes up and see what it feels like. How's that, man? So Dr. Aubrey Levin is what his name is, and he practices psychiatry there in Canada. Levin has worked in Canada for 15 years, leaving South Africa, where he was the chief psychiatrist in apartheid-era military and became notorious for using electric shock to cure gay white conscripts. He also held conscientious objectors against their will at a military hospital because they were disturbed and subjected them to powerful drug regimens. South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission heard that Levin was guilty of gross human rights abuses, including chemical castration of gay men. But after arriving in Canada in 1995, he managed to suppress public discussion of his past by threatening lawsuits against news organizations that attempted to explore it. See, that's the free speech in Canada that you have been hearing so much about. You know, they're so respectful of people up there. In Canada, they actually have a term. It's called absolutist, unrestrained free speech. So the idea of free speech as we understand it in the United States is considered in Canada dangerous. And I'm not kidding you. I am absolutely, as crazy as it sounds, I'm being serious. As you and I understand free speech in this country, in Canada, they consider what we have here in the United States to be dangerous and crazy. Just like, are you kidding? Now, they only have, what, 40 million people? How many people do they have in Canada? Not even that many? What are you afraid of up there, man? How can 40 million people get out of hand in a country that big? I mean, that's not a whole lot of people to keep in line. What are you worried about? Now comes this guy, and he threatens to sue. Every time somebody says to him, hey, pal, there's 33 million people in Canada. Thanks, Jason. I happen to know that you did thus and so in South Africa. Well, I'm going to sue you if you come out with that. And people are so frightened the way the laws are structured in Canada, well, I better not. Threatening lawsuits against news organizations that attempted to explore it. And so the news organizations, much like CBS and the Brown and Williamson debacle, decide, well, we better back off because we may be a news organization, but we also, have to go home at night and look at our wives and our kids and live in really big houses in Connecticut and be stars, see? All right, you're telling me that I have to file a lawsuit that could put this company in jeopardy, and the next thing you know, my goodness gracious, we could lose. What about the truth? What about being a newsman? Folks, it all hit home for me when the Muhammad cartoons came out back in the spring of 2006, I'll never forget it as long as I live. And the industry that I had grown up in suddenly looks at me and they say, Phil, you better get those pictures off your website. Why? Well, for safety's sake. And I suddenly saw the idea of free speech in America didn't exist at all. It does not exist. Not because the government's going to take it away from us. No, because just some threatening bastard with a tablecloth on his head, he's going to take it away from me. Up in Canada, they've codified it. If you, threaten to sue a guy, that's enough to shut him up because, hey, you're not allowed to speak too much truth in Canada. Otherwise, it makes things uncomfortable. I don't know how it works, man, but I tell you what, let's do this. Time now for the stories we couldn't get to. I don't know how much time we have for the stories we couldn't get to. But let's do the stories that we couldn't get to. Here is one. An Indonesian teenager chopped off his penis and tossed it down a well after learning his girlfriend intended to marry another man.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. The 19-year-old from a village in central Java was lucky to survive the self-surgery. He arrived at the hospital last Thursday in critical condition from blood loss, according to the hospital spokesperson. Cutting off your penis can be fatal.
Why?
I guess there's a lot of blood that can be lost there. Doctors were unable to reattach the dismembered member because villagers could not find it. The teen spent several days in intensive care but is now in recovery. He's not spoken to anyone about the incident. He's too shocked and embarrassed to talk or see anyone. What a bummer, man. What a drag of a story. Only time for one more story here. A film selected for the 2010 Tribeca Film Festival called Ticked Off Trannies with Knives hasn't been screened there yet, but it's already had a very serious effect on members of the transgender community and their supporters, prompting an advocacy group to call for the film's removal. What is this with knives and transgender and penises? What's with you, bud?
It's just the stuff I found.
All right, well, until... I guess the engineer is going to lock us out. Goodbye.
Phil Hendry.